Morning of today's Daf Bava Basra's Pei Tesvor and Pei Ches Amud Beis. We just ran through the Mishnah yesterday. The Mishnah starts on the bottom of Pei Ches Amud Aleph. The Mishnah is a discussion on fair weights and measurements. It is extraordinarily important to have fair weights and measurements. First of all, the Torah says so. So already I can't understate how important it is, anything the Torah says. But the Gemara later on, in today's Daf, is going to describe how this is really one of the more potentially liable causing Yisurim of the Torah. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. In the meantime, just a quick recap of the Mishnah. I'm just going to read the Mishnah again very quickly. So the Mishnah here is describing basically making sure that all your weights and measurements that you're using in the course of business are going to be fair and balanced and clean, and so that every transaction is going to be a fair transaction. So the Mishnah says, so when you have the seton is a large distributor who's selling a lot and often. So he should be wiping his measurements down once every 30 days. The Baal Bais, who's not selling that much, he's not using his weights and measurements that much, so once every 12 months, he should wipe down his measurements. Shimon Gamliel says just the opposite, meaning that Shimon Gamliel, the more you use it, the less accumulation there's going to be. And as opposed to the less you use it, the more accumulation it's going to be. Okay. So, Chervani Mekanech Midosa Pamayim B'Shabbos. If you are a store owner, so that means you're selling more than the Baal Bais, but less than the big distributor, so you wipe your measurements down twice a week. Umemachim Ashkolosa Pamachas B'Shabbos, your weights and themselves, you got to make sure that they are of a balanced and fair weight, so you wipe them down once a week. Mekanech Maznaim Alkol Mishkal Mishkal. Every time you are using the scale, you got to wipe down the scale between every time you weigh. That's only talking about when you're measuring liquid. But if you're doing dry, if you're measuring dry, there's no need to wipe it down. Then the Mishnah talks about this obligation of making sure that when you balance, in other words, the weights back then were a balance. And we're going to talk later in detail today about the actual balance themselves, the fulcrum, the horizontal beam. But anyway, when you balance so, you would think that what you want is the balance to be parallel to the floor, meaning a straight line going across, a horizontal. The Mishnah says no. The Mishnah says that what you want is that you want the product itself to go down, to actually dip lower than the actual counterweight. That means more for the consumer. That's what it means. So, chayv la'achriya lo tefach. How much down does it have to dip? It has to dip down a full tefach. Now, if you're going to go level, now again, as I mentioned yesterday, the Gemara is going to be sensitive to the fact that the Mishnah just told us not to stay level. In other words, but to drop the product down a little bit, lower than the counterweight. But And the Gemara is going to give us some sort of pshat in the Mishnah. If, in fact, you're going to go level, so then you got to add a little bit more towards the consumer. So, well, I'm going to go over the numbers later on. The Gemara is going to tell us exactly how much more you have to add. I mean, the Mishnah does, but the Gemara is going to explain it, and I'll wait till the Gemara to explain it. Makim shenagu la'amod bedaka lo yamod begasa, begasa lo yamod bedaka. If the minhag is to measure in small units and small increments, so then don't measure in large ones. The reason why, explains the Rashbam, is because what is going to end up happening is that you're going to have to use many different small weights in order to get to the larger weight, and it'll be very hard for you to measure fairly. So therefore, you should measure what is normally the standard measuring size that is the minhag of your community. So Malkum Shanagulama Bedaka Lo Yima Begasa, Begasa Lo Yima Bedaka, not the other way around as well. Limchok Lo Yigdosh and Ligdosh Lo Yimchok. And then let's say you're measuring flour for somebody. If the minhag is to make a heaping pile, so then you should heap. If the minhag is to level off the top, so you should level. Here you follow the minhag of your community. All right, Minah Nimila. We start off with the Gemara's question of where does this come from? Where does what come from? So at this point in time, we think we're talking about the halacha of being machriya, of making sure that when you are balancing product against the weight, the product should go down a little bit. Where does that come from? Amar Reish Lakish, Amakra, Evan Shlema Vitzedek. And the Gemara now darshans the word Vitzedek, Sadek Mishocha V'tein Lo, meaning almost like from the word Staka. You got to add a little bit more before you finalize the sale. So the Gemara says, Iachi Emasefa, Yashoka Lo Ayin Ba'ayin, Osin Lo Girumim. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. You just darshan the pasuk that teaches me that I should not have the beam, the balance beam, actually be horizontal, but have a dip in favor of the buyer. The Gemara says, if that's a drush in the Torah, so then what's the next line of the Mishnah? The next line of the Mishnah is, and if the balance beam is level, so then you make sure to give him a little bit more. Meaning, if it's, and the Gemara spells out the question, if the idea of dipping in favor of the buyer, of the consumer, if that's the din d'oraisa, why would the Mishnah even entertain, you know, if the balancing beam is level, so then give him a little bit more. There's nothing to entertain if hachra is a din d'oraisa. So fine. So the Gemara says, in terms of whether or not you're going to be dipping the balancing beam in favor of the consumer, so that really is not a din d'oraisa, and that's going to be contingent on what the minhag is. In some places, the minhag is to dip product in favor of the consumer, and in some communities the minhag is not to dip but rather keep the balance level, and then if you're going to keep the balance level, so then add a little bit more. So but we do have a drasha. So what's the drasha being applied towards? Gemara goes on to explain. So if the drasha is there to teach us that if I'm doing a balanced weight and I'm keeping the balancing beam horizontal, so now I know that when he asked for a litra of whatever, of meat, I gave him a litra, exactly a litra, and now there's this halacha that I got to tack on just a little bit more. And why? Drasha. So the Gemara says, Minahani Mili, I'm Reish Lakish, I'm a Krav, Vitzedek. Tzadik Mishocha V'tein Lo. Meaning, again, like similar to the word staka. Like, just give him a little bit more. Now, V'kama Girumim, now exactly how much more are you going to give him? So the Mishnah told us, the Mishnah actually gave us a number, but the Gemara is going to be a little bit more descriptive. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Mama, Amar Rav Ach, Amar Rav, Echad Me Asara Belitra Belach, Asara Litrin. So the Mishnah, the way to understand the Mishnah is Echad Me Asara Le Asara, a tenth of a tenth, which is a percentage, 1%. So that's what the Mishnah means when it says that when you're doing liquid measurements, so you should tack on just a little bit more. How much more? 1% more. Okay. Now, the Mishnah says it is going to be a tenth of a tenth when it comes to liquid, and a tenth of 20. Now, a tenth of 20, what does that mean exactly? The Gemara wants to know. Do we mean a 20th of a 20th, which would be 1/400th? For Yavesh, Odilma Echam Esar La Asar Delach for Esrim Di Yavesh. Or the Gemara says, no, maybe it's 1 of 20, meaning 1/200th when it comes to dry. So the Gemara basically entertains two measurements for dry. For the wet, we know, for in other words, when you're measuring liquids, so how much little bonus should be given to the consumer. So for liquids, that's 1%. The Gemara says that's clear. In terms of the dry, the Mishnah could be read in one of two ways. It could be either a 400th or it could be a 200th. Take them. Okay? Gemara leaves that question unresolved. So it's either a quarter of a percent or a half of 1%. Amar Rabbi Levi Kasha Onshin Shal Midas Yosem Onshin Shal Arayas. Okay? And the Gemara goes on now to describe how serious an offense it is if you cheat a little bit in business and you're not fair in your weights and measurements. And the Gemara makes a very strong statement. The Gemara says that the punishment for not being careful about weights and measurements is actually going to be more than Onshin Shal Arayas, than for illicit relations. Because if you look in the context of the two parshios, so when the Torah describes when the Torah makes a summary statement regarding the Arayas, the Torah says, Kol ha'osos, you'll forgive me, I don't have the pasuk here readily available. But the pasuk says ha'el, meaning these. I have the Rashbam. Okay. Esa toevos ha'el. Right, these abominations. When it comes to midos, the Torah says, kol osa ela, Okay, so it's basically the same word. Anyone who does these, but when it comes to Arayas, the Torah spells it out Aleph Lamed, and when it comes to Midas, the Torah spells it out Aleph Lamed Hey. My Mashman Dahai El Kasha. Now, first of all, the word El by itself means strong or difficult. How do I know that? Dichsiv Esele Haaretz Lakach. Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yecheskel. In the context, you'll look in the pasukim, and you'll see that it's a reference to basically the tough ones, the strong ones. So Gabe Arayas Namiksiv Namiksiv Ha'Ela. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? The truth of the matter is that even if you look in the pasuk regarding Arayos, it also says the words Eila. So the Gemara says, "Kol Asher Yaseh." I'm reading the Rashbam. Mikola Toivos HaEila VeNichrasu. So we're trying to contrast that Midos are actually more difficult and more liable than Arayos, and it's based on the fact that by Arayos it says El, and by Midos it says Eila. But the Gemara points out, If you carefully read the Pesukim in the Torah, you'll see the word Eila by Arayas as well. So the Gemara says, Ha'ula mute midas mikares. Yeah, that's true, but what the Torah is trying to teach us there is that you're going to be subject to the Kares penalty for Arayos, and when it comes to Midos, you're not going to be subject to the Kares penalty. Meaning, I would have thought, there's a Havamina, that because unfair weights and measurements is such a serious violation of the Torah, so it should be subject to Kares. So the word Eila by Arayos is coming to teach me, it's not subject to Arayos. That's exactly what the Rashbam says. I'm reading the Rashbam over here. Salka datcha mina kevin de ol midos nikru toivos hava mina harim bechal kol asher yaseh mikol toivos. Right. In other words, when the Torah describes unfair way, the person not being careful in fair weights and measurements, the Torah calls it an abomination. Just like the Torah calls Arayos an abomination, and therefore I might have thought it'd be subject to the punishment of kares. The word Eila is coming to tell me no. Velamai o defiah. So the Gemara says, okay. So now, Maybe I can understand commensurate. Maybe I can understand that they're on equal footing. But that's not the statement. The statement is that it's actually harsher than that of Arayas. How do you understand that? The Gemara explains. So the Gemara says, well, look, when a person is involved in Arayas, so he could do tshuva. Rashbam writes he could do tshuva. Efshar le b'tshuva. Arayas mo elis tshuva. I aved le tshuva ma yasek edichsev. Tshuva banim shavavim. Arpe mishavasechem. A person can do tshuva when a person violates Arayas. Kol chai v'krikush. Sorry. And the Rashbam quotes the Gemara in Malkus. Kol chai v'krisa shalaku niftaru midei krisa son. That if a person gets Malkus for any chai v'krisas that he violated, so he will be exonerated from the Kares punishment. Avamidah shegoz el sarabim. But unfair weights and measurements. So what have you done all day, all week, all month? So you basically you stole from the public. Now who are you going to return? Who are you going to make compensation back to? You literally have no idea who you stole from. So in other words, you stole with no recollection and no real ability to return the money who you stole from. So e esher lo b'tshuva. The Rashbam writes sharei tshuvaso tului b'hashavas gzela. You see, when you steal, there's really only one way to do tshuva, and that is leheshiv hazegzela, to return that which you stole. Dechsev heshiv hazegzela v'huena yodela mi yachzir. He simply doesn't know who to return it to. The Alphagav Damrin and Yaseh Bam Sarche Rabbe means the tshuva ma'alya. Now, yes, the Rashbam points out it's true the Gemara does say elsewhere that what you should do is you should basically make a donation to the public, and the public will make usage of it. And the Rashbam says that's nice and it's right, but that's not real tshuva. So me'achashena meishav labalam esh ela shabir lo hamutav. You're not really returning it to the aggrieved party. You're giving it back to the public, but not to the individual aggrieved party. So that's not real. That's not real tshuva. So the Gemara says that the distinction between Midos versus Arayos is that at least with Arayos there's an opportunity for tshuva. For Midos there's no real opportunity for tshuva. I'm Rabbi Levi. Back to the Gemara. Continuing in the Gemara. Stealing from another person, stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning Mi'ila. Which one is worse? So the Gemara says stealing from another person is worse. And again, it's based on just a critical look of the psukim themselves. Again, I turn back to the Rashbam. The Rashbam quotes both set of psukim. So when it comes to Gezel Hedger, when it talks about stealing from another person, the Torah says, Nefesh ki secheta umala ma ba Hashem v'kichesh mamisa. So in the end of Parshas Vayikra, the Torah goes on to describe a person stealing from another, and the Torah right in the beginning throws out the word chet. A person nefesh ki secheta, when he sins. So chet comes right in the beginning of the pasuk. However, just reading a little bit further in the Rashbam, miyadas haschalas hagezel kari lechote mishas kfira. Gabe hektish. However, contrast that with the pesukim in hektish. The Rashbam writes, "Ksiv kisimol mal vichata." A person steals and he sins. So you see that the word sin is pushed off a little bit later in the pasuk. De'enu nikra chote ad shenana. Meaning the only time that you're really called a thief, someone who steals, is only after you get benefit. Again, they're both bad. The Gemara's point is just simply that when you contrast them, you see that when you steal from another person, so you're just a higher degree, a higher level of bad. Note the distinction between Akash Baruch Hu versus people. Akash Baruch Hu Baruch Yisrael Besim Vishtayim. When Akash Baruch Hu gives the bracha, he does so with 22 and Kilam B'Shmona, but when he curses only with 8. What the Gemara now is doing is contrasting the two tochachos of the Torah. The two times in the Torah where we are significantly rebuked. One at the end of Sefer Vayikra and one at the end of Sefer Dvarim. So the end of Sefer Vayikra and Parshas Bichu Kosai. So the Torah gives us both bracha and klala, both good and a lot of curses. But compare that to what you're going to find in Parshas Kisavo and the end of Sefer Dvarim, where there again also bracha and klala, and there a lot of klala. Just in terms of psukim, just a lot more klala. The Gemara over here is going to contrast in a slightly different manner, and that is based on letters in the alphabet. Now, don't be confused. The Gemara is throwing out the numbers over here, 8 and 22. 8 and 22 is not the number of psukim, nor is it the number of letters of the bracha and the klala. 8 and 22 is reflective of the number of letters of the alphabet. I'll explain better in just a second. The Gemara also is working with the following general assumption. Sefer Vayikra, the Tochach on Sefer Vayikra, that is more attributable to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Tochachos and Sefer Devarim is more attributable to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, it's all Torah. It all comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu, meaning Moshe did not write anything on his own. But in terms of the Nevuah, it is generally accepted and understood that Sefer Devarim is more a reflection of Moshe than it is just a simple transcribing of the Nevuah. That's to the best way I can try to explain that. So the Gemara goes on to contrast the Tochacha of Bechukosai versus the Tochacha of Kisavo. And the Gemara says that when Akash Baruch Hu gives a bracha, he does so with 22, and when he curses with 8. And the Gemara goes on to explain these numbers. Baruch HaMesu Mishtayim, May. In other words, when you look at the brachas in Parshas Bechukosai, you will see it starts off with the words Im Bechukosai. So what letter does it start off with? It starts with an Aleph. Ad Kamamiyos. And then it ends with the word kamios, which ends with which letter of the Torah? Tav. Al through Tav, 22 letters of the alphabet. V'kilam bishmona. Now, in terms of cursing, he cursed with 8. Again, not talking about 8 psukim, not talking about eight words, or nor 8 letters. But, in other words, look at the first letter of the Tochacha, look at the last letter. Mei ve'im b'chukosai timosu ad av eschukosai ga'ala nafsham. So we go from a vav to a mem. And you count the letters from Vav to Mem, so that's 8 letters in the Aleph base. Okay. V'ilu Moshe Rabbeinu Baruchem B'Shmona V'Kalam Ba'asrim V'Shtayim. Now Moshe Rabbeinu went opposite. So when he gave the bracha, he went, in terms of letters in the Torah, 8 letters in the Torah. And when he gave the curse, he went 22. So Baruchem B'Shmona Mi'vehaya Im Shamoa Tishma Ad Le'avdam. So it goes from the letter Vav to the letter Mem. And so when you count the number of letters in the alphabet from Vav to Mem, it's 8. And then Kilam Be'esrim, Vishtayim, and then when Moshe gives the klala, he does it with 22. Mevehaya im lo sishma ad ve'in kone. So he goes from Vav to Hey. So it's the full gamut of the alphabet. It's interesting, it doesn't go from Aleph to Tav. Like we said previously, here it goes from vav to hey, right? Vahaya to the word koneh. So it goes from vav to hey. So, but it does make a full cycle of the aleph base. But it's interesting; it doesn't go from aleph to tav. Now, you'll ask me a simple question. I don't have a good answer. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu follow the pattern of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is blessing with 22 and cursing with 8, why does the Moshe do the same as well? Okay, that's a more than reasonable question. I don't have a good approach. I don't know. And the Gemara is just simply contrasting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, so to say, more rachmanus. And so therefore, and just more of a source of bracha. Okay, but again, that doesn't. I don't have a good answer to why Moshe just didn't follow suit. Okay. Makom shana nagulimor begasa v'chulei simon. The Gemara gives now. The Gemara is going to rattle off. We're starting on the top of Pei Testament Aleph. The Gemara will now rattle off numerous halachas about fair weights and measurements. Okay, I'm going to go relatively quickly over here. And the Gemara gives us the simonim in terms of how to organize and coordinate this next series of halachas. And I'm just reading the simonim. Ein ma'ayim, ein goshim, ba'agodim, ve'litra, shlosha, ve'esar, nefesh, mishkolos, memachik, avalo, sasu, lo yasa. Okay. Let's go. Number one. Tanu rabbanan minayin she'ein mochim b'makom shegoshim, ein goshim b'makom shemochim. Okay, so you're measuring flour. Some communities heap the flour on top as a minhag, and some communities make it level. So how do I know that I'm not allowed to deviate from the minhag? Tanu lomar eifa shlema. So the Torah in Parshas Kiseitse goes on to describe that the measurements have to be complete measurements. Now, how does that indicate then that you are not allowed to change the minug of either heaping or leveling? The Rashbam explains. Tamalomer Eifash Lemavit Sedek. So, Mashmad Lo Garcin and Hachavit Sedek. So, first of all, the Rashbam says over here, the Girsa of Sedek is not to be read in the Gemara, which, by the way, we don't have. Ela Mishlema Nafkalam. We learn it from the word Shlema. And I'm in the third line, the third wide line of the Rashbam, towards the top of the Amen. Shitzarch Shiye Eifash Lema Shalo Yavali De Ramos. Basically, what we want is we want a business system, a transaction system, where it's not going to lead to deception. Dim osim kain, shema yiro samachem v'yomru kacha minag v'yirme halokech es amocher. Oh, amocher es halokech. And we are worried that if there is any opportunity for any kind of foul play, so then somebody's going to defraud somebody. Buyer's going to defraud seller. Seller's going to defraud buyer. V'ha'leka l'mema debelo machal ma'iri b'raisa da'hu melo ta'aseh aval nafka shegoz alo shelo bi'adayim. And even if there is mechila, that was the previous Rashbam, which I didn't read. And even if there's mechila, you cannot do it. You cannot heap in a place where they level off. You can't level off in a place where they heap. Because once you then change the standard minhag of the community, so that people see that, and people will then say, oh, you know what? Today I'm going to level off for you. Meaning, and that's not the minhag. And he's going to charge what they normally charge for heaping for the level amount, and somebody's going to get defrauded. So basically, once there's a minhag set in the community, you must follow the minhag. Otherwise, it's going to lead to deception. Continuing back to the Gemara, Ominash Yamamar Harini Mochik Bamakam Shikoshim Vilifchos Lomin Adamim, Varini Godish Mamakam Shemochim Vlosif Lo, Vilhosif Lo Ladamim, Shein Shomim Lo. Well, how about this? How about if the seller says to the buyer, look, I know that generally speaking we heap the measurement on top, but you know what? Today let's level, and what I'll do is I'll discount it for you. So the Gemara says, no, don't do that. And how do I know that? Tamalomer Eifar Shlema Vitzedek Yalach. You have to be righteous. And again, the Rashbam over here effectively says the same thing they said previously, which is that look, right now in this particular transaction we're good. Meaning, generally speaking, we heap the measurement on top, and now I'm going to level it off, and now I'm going to give you a discount, which in and of itself is fine. But the Rashbam points out that what's going to happen is the next time people are going to level, not give the discount, and basically then cheat the buyer. So again, you got to keep the measuring standard. Tanu Rabbanan, back to the Gemara. Minayin she'ein ma'aynin b'makom she'machrim ve'ein machrim b'makom she'ma'aynin. So as we pointed out, when you're weighing on the balance, so there are two minhagim. One is to allow the product to go lower than the counterbalance, so that therefore effectively you're giving a little bit more to the consumer. Or two, make the balance and counterbalance level, but then just add a little bit more. And in terms of how much more, a percent, 0.5%, 0.25%, like we said earlier this morning. Tamalomer Evin Shleimam. So the Gemara says, and again, standardize the practice of our community. If the practice is to dip, so then dip. If the practice is to level but to add a little bit more, so then do that. But keep the weighing a standard method. And again, same suggestion we made previously. How about if the seller says to the buyer, look, I know generally our practice is to dip, but right now I'm going to keep the balance level and I'll give you a discount. Yeah? So the Gemara says, again, don't do that. And how do I know that? Tamalamar Evin Shlemovit Tzedek. And the Gemara says, again, it goes back to this idea that right now, and again, I'm just saying it like the Rashbam, right now, what you did in this particular transaction is good, but once you no longer have a standardized practice of how to measure, so it could lead to deception in the future. So therefore, don't do it. I'm Rav Yehuda Misura. Lo yelecha beveitcha. Again, quoting the Pesukim from Parshas Kisetze regarding fair weights and measurements, is that the Gemara understands that if you are not honest in fair weights and measurements, so you're not going to have in your house. What are you not going to have in your house? The Rashbam says over here, money. Meaning you're going to lose money. Meaning exactly what you tried to gain. In other words, by trying to deceive somebody, try to gain more money. And what the Gemara now is going to explain is opposite effect. By you trying to deceive somebody in order to gain more money, you're actually going to lose money. Matam mishum eifa, the eifa lo yelcha bekischa. Matam mishum even. So the Gemara says same thing, meaning for your weight, for your measurements, you're going to lose money if you try to deceive somebody. Even. Aval even shlema v'tzedek yelcha, eifa shlema v'tzedek yelcha. Your measurements have to be fair and balanced. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, now regulators. There should be inspectors, regulators coming around often in order to make sure that people are using fair weights and measurements. And the Rashbam points out over here, and if they find anyone who is cheating the system, so the Rashbam says that they are instructed to enforce. So they are both inspectors and their enforcement as well. You don't need, however, to go around, people go around making sure that market prices are regulated. You don't have to regulate the market price. The Rashbam writes over here, okay, I know we credit our economists, speaking about the invisible hand. You don't have to credit the economists. The Rashbam writes it right over here. The Rashbam says, "Ve'in ma'amina magardim l'sha'arim," in terms of price, you don't have to send around regulators. Shelo yimachu biyoker svaruhu de'enot sarich. I'm reading the Rashbam. It's no need to send people around to make sure that the prices are fair. De'im zerot salim kabiyoker, because if somebody wants to charge more for something, also at sarich lamaos yitim bezol v'yachol lochim etzlo. Someone's going to sell a lower price, and all the buyers are going to go to the person selling at the lower price. And it's going to force the person who's going to sell a higher price, it's going to force him to drop his prices because of competition. Okay, the invisible hand of the market right here in the Rashbam. Today's daf Beitas. Now, contrary to what the Bryce had just taught us, send out the inspectors and send out the regulators to make sure people are using fair weights and measurements. But you don't have to do anything about the price. Let the market settle the price. So, despite that, we just learned that the house of the Beis Nasi sent out inspectors and regulators to regulate both measurements and the weights and measurements, and also the market price as well. So I'm Lishmo Lakarna Pok Tanilahu Ma'amidam Agardim Lamidafim Ma'amidam Agardim Lisha'arim. So Shmuel hears about this. So Shmuel tells his colleague Karna, here's what I want you to do. What I want you to do is go out and tell the people there's no need for that. I want you to publicly darshan in my name that you only need inspectors and regulators for the fair weights and measurements, but you don't need it for the price. So now for darshlu, so what does Karna do? He goes out and he expounds and he says the following publicly. We need regulators for both the weights, the measurements, and also for price as well. Exactly what Shmuel told him not to do. So Amalei Mashimcha. So Shmuel says to him, what is your name? Karna? Typically Karna Be'enei. So Shmuel cursed Karna for not following his instructions to the letter, and he says basically a horn should grow out between your eyes. Now we do have in the Gemara the next line, which is Nafkalei Karna Beinei, and that's in fact what happened. There is I don't know what this is, but there's a Perish Rashbam Ha'ikari. It's basically, I'm not sure if the Rashbam did this or somebody else did this. Either way, someone basically wrote the highlights of the Rashbam, meaning the Rashbam writes a lot, and in his commentary, and it recently came up in the Daf. I don't have any good information about this, but over here, the Rashbam writes in these Perish HaIkari that this didn't actually happen. In other words, the horn did not grow out. In other words, the Gemara's idea is very simple over here. Shmuel was upset with Karna because Karna did not publicize exactly what he said, which is you only need regulators for the weights and measurements, not for price. Okay. V'u Kaman Savar. Now, Karna went rogue. And he told everybody that we do need regulators for both weights and measurements and for price as well. And the Gemara wants to know, where did he get that from? So the Gemara says, Kihad Amarami Barchama Amarav Yitzchak Ma'amida Magardim Ben Lamidos Ben Lasharim Mebnei Aramayim. The Gemara says, he has an Amora. Rami Barchama said it in the name of Rav Yitzchak, that you do need regulators for both the weights and measurements and also for the price gougers as well. But again, Shmuel did not subscribe to that viewpoint. Tana Rabbanan. Hayim avakish memenu litra shokolo litra chatzi litra shokolo chatzi litra revia litra shokolo revia litra. So the Gemara says that if a person is asking for a litra, litra is a weight. So if a person is asking for a litra, so take out the stone that is a litra that measures a litra. And if the person asks for a half a litra, so then take out the stone measuring a weight of a half a litra. And if you think like the Gemara, it's fantastic. And if the person asks for a quarter of a litra, so take out the stone that is a quarter of a litra. My kamash malan. So the Gemara says, now what's the Braisa teaching us? Now, right, these seems to be obvious points, right? If I want a quarter pound of deli, so they're going to measure. I mean, nowadays we have the electronic scale, but you're going to take out the counterbalance of a quarter pound. Okay, the Gemara says, what is the price of coming to teach me? Answers the Gemara, de mitaknina mitakli ad hachi. So the Gemara's answer is that the smallest weight we're going to use is a quarter, and that's it. We're not going to go smaller. Why not? The Rashbam explains over here. The Rashbam is about 15 lines after the lines get wide. It's the beginning of the line. No, I'm sorry. Second wide line of the Rashbam. Hachi garsinim intakim intaklat hachi. Basin kadmonim hitkinu. Hamidos ad kano pachos mikan shoklim bematbeos. V'im yavo adam lasakim bepachos ein shomem lo. You cannot make a weight less than a quarter of a litra. Why? Pen yavo l'ramos v'lom ezer revi a litra. Because once these weights become smaller and smaller, it's really hard to distinguish between a quarter litra and then a fifth of a litra, or an eighth of a litra. Now, at this point in time, the differences are so small that it's hard, and then what's going to happen is that people are going to cheat other people. That's one pshat in the Rashbam. The Rashbam also offers another pshat. Another possibility is that we need a standardized fractional system, meaning that we're going to work in a half and a quarter, not a third and a fifth. And again, the idea is similar to the previous idea, because once we allow weights of a third and a fifth, so then the unscrupulous seller will take out the quarter weight measurement and replace it with a third. It's hard to tell the difference. So basically, we've standardized it, so it's going to be in increments of litra, half a litra, and a quarter of a litra. Okay, next. Back to the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Haya mevakesh mimenu shlosha revi'i litra. Let's say the guy wants 3/4 pound of a deli. And so how do you measure 3/4 pound? So there's a couple of ways you could do it. The Bryce is telling us this is going to be the fairest way to do it. So don't do three different weighings of one quarter. Now, it's true that'll get you to three quarters, but the Gemara says don't do that. And the Rashbam over here, again, explains that because every time you weigh, you run the risk of it being inaccurate, and also remember that you also have to add on.
You said vintages of the seller.
All right. So you want to do it in one weighing. Now remember, there's no weight of three quarters. There's a 1 litra, a half a litra, and a quarter litra. So the Gemara says, so here's what you're going to do. Ela shoka litra minech revi litra mabasa. So what you'll do over here is, on one side of the balance, you're going to put the litra measurement, litra weight. Then on the counterbalance, you're going to put a quarter litra. And now you put the meat on the side of the quarter litra. And that gets you the three quarters. And that's how you do it in one measuring. Okay, simple math. Okay, you and I are saying the same thing. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Hayim avakish memenu esa litron lo yomar lo shkoli achas achas v'yichriya. So, elo shoko lo kulan bevas achas. V'nosin hechra echa lo kulan. Somebody wants 10 litras, so don't do it in 10 measurings, 10 weighings. But rather, put 10 litra on one side, put the meat on the other side, or whatever you're measuring on the other side. And because remember, there's going to be a hechre, there's going to be a dip of the product towards the consumer. We want one dip, not 10 different dips. Tanu Rabbanan nefesh maznayim.
What do you learn from this extra example?
You're right. I mean, from the previous point, this point seems to be obvious. Okay. Offhand, I don't have a good answer. Tanu Rabbanan, nefesh maznayim tluya ba'avir. Okay, we're now actually talking about the balance itself. The balance itself, okay, it's a simple construction, simple engineering. It's made up of a fulcrum. The Gemara over here is describing one that hangs off the ceiling. But in other words, okay, you have your fulcrum, and then you have the horizontal beam going through the fulcrum, and then off the two sides of the horizontal beam, you have basically straps and the cups on the bottom. And the Gemara now is going to give us a very precise ratio of how long should the fulcrum be going down, how long should the crossbeam be, how long should the straps be going down, and the Gemara. And not only are we going to be talking about dimensions, we'll also be talking about what it's made out of. Gemara over here is very specific in terms of how to make a fair balance. Tanu Rabbanan nefesh maznayim. The nefesh is a fulcrum. Just such a beautiful way to describe it. It's the soul of the balance, the fulcrum. So Tanu Rabbanan nefesh maznayim tuliya ba'avir gimel tfachim. Avigavom min ha'ar shlosha tfachim. So suspended from the ceiling 3 tfachim, and then from the ground 3 tfachim. I don't fully get that. Okay, because the total difference between the ceiling and the ground is not 6 tefachim; it's a lot more. So maybe it's talking about minimums. I'm not sure, but anyway, okay. But it should be the fulcrum should be hanging from the ceiling 3 tefachim. V'kana umisna shalash nemasar tefachim. Now the cross beam and the two straps going down should be a total of 12. Now the way the Rashbam sets it up over here is that it's going to be, the crossbeam and the two straps going down are going to be equal in measurement. So that means then, that over here, for example, the number is 12 tefachim. So the Rashbam says that means 4, 4, and 4. 4 tefachim, the crossbeam, and each one of the chains going down is going to be 4 tefachim. Vishal tamar. Now, that's the standard scale. So standard scale is going to have the fulcrum going down 3 tefachim, and then the crossbeam being 4 tefachim, and the straps going down being 4 tefachim each. Okay. Now, shel tzamar v'shel zagagim, tlui ba'avir shnei tefachim. Now, when you're measuring things that are lighter in nature, like wool, like glass, so the scale is going to be a smaller scale, and I'm guessing, I'm not saying this definitively, that with the smaller scale, it's going to be a little bit more precise to measure these smaller items, these more lightweight items. So, the fulcrum itself is going to be 2 tefachim, gavol minar, shnei tefachim, 2 tefachim from the ceiling, 2 tefachim from the ground, v'kano misna shalat tes tefachim. The crossbeam and the straps going down are going to be 9, and again, the Rashbam says 3, 3, and 3. Okay. Shochan Vani, Vishal Balabais. Now, the store owner and the Balabais who are selling even lighter objects. So here the cross beam is going to be 6 tvachim, which again mean it breaks down to 2, 2, and 2. Okay. Vishal Turtani. So what is he selling? So he's selling little bits of gold and silver, precious metals. And again, he's selling them in such small amounts that the scale has to be even smaller. Suspended from the ceiling, 3 etzbaos, 3 finger lengths. A tefach is 4 finger lengths. So this is just 3/4 of a tefach of the fulcrum. And here, the Rashbam says this is actually part of the Braisa. The author of the Braisa actually says he doesn't know how long the crossbeam and the straps going down is for this very small scale. The Gemara here asks a simple question. You'll notice that after the first scale was a standard scale, which went down from the from the ceiling 3 tefachim, the fulcrum was 3 tefachim, and it was 4, 4, and 4 for cross beams and the straps going down. What the Braisa didn't tell us is who's using that, meaning that's for weighing what? El hakamaisa demai. That's the Gemara's question. Turn the amud. Top of the testament base. Amra papa di gi romi. They are the people selling copper and bronze. These metals are sold in much greater units, much heavier units, and so therefore for them you use a larger scale. Okay. Amra Bani Bar Patish Kidersh Amulinyan Isurkach Amrul Inyan Tumasan. Now basically we've given the proper dimensions of a scale. And that's important to know because first of all you want your measurements to be fair and balanced. And also it's important to know because of the halachas of Tumah. We know once you have made a kli, a functional kli, it's now susceptible to tumah. Once I made a scale to code, to dimension, it's now susceptible to tumah. And that's exactly the Gemara's point over here. That once I made the scale to scale, so then it's subject to tumah. To which the Gemara says, that's all really nice, my kamashmal and tanina. So didn't you learn the 29th parak of Kalim? Okay, full disclosure. I didn't go through, I haven't gone through Kalim cover to cover. Okay, but that's something I shouldn't be not proud of. But anyway, the 30 Prakim and Kalim. So so don't you know the 29th parak of Kalim? Where there, if you actually go through the 29th parak of Kalim, you're going to see that the Mishnah and Kalim already teaches us this. Ma'ika Mashmal and Tanina. Chod Maznaim Shalchan Vani V'Shabala Batim Tefach. That the strap of the maznayim is going to be a tefach. In fact, exactly what we just learned over here, but I already have it as a mishnah. So the Gemara says, kind of mishnah, shala itzurich le delo tanan. The Gemara says, yes. The mishnah in Kalim does tell us the length of the fulcrum, but the mishnah in Kalim does not tell us the length of the crossbeam, nor does it tell us the length of the straps. So that's what we learned in the Braisa, which the mishnah in Kalim did not teach us. Tana Rabbanan. Continuing now. We are on Peites Amud Beis. We're about 6 lines from the top of the Amud. Ein osim mishkalos lo shel ba'etz v'lo shel ever v'lo shel gistaron v'lo shel shar minei matachos. In terms of the composite material to make your weights, should not be made out of wood, should not be made out of lead, should not be made out of an alloy. Gistaron, Rashbam over here explains as being an alloy, and not made out of any metal, but of a osin hu shel tsunama, v'shel zechuchis, it should be made either of stone. Tsunama is like a hard stone, like a kind of like a bedrock. It should be made out of a stone, or it should be made out of glass. Okay, and things that are not as subject to decay and would lead to unfair weights and measurements. Tana Rabbanan ein osin hamachak shel delas. We are now talking about the tool used to level the top. Now, as remember, we learned back in the Mishnah, some have the minhag of heaping the product onto the measuring cup, and some have the minhag of leveling off. So now, for those who have the minhag of leveling off, the Braisa here is going to be very specific in terms of what the material is of the leveling tool, and also its shape. Don't make it up out of organic material. It's too light. Don't make it up out of metal because that's too heavy. So when making the measuring tool, it shouldn't be made out of a light material, shouldn't be made out of a heavy material. Make it out of a wood. A wood is a good material so that when you do level, it'll be a fair leveling. Don't make the leveling instrument where one side is going to be very thick and the other side is going to be very thin. Because, as the Rashbam explains, because depending on who you want to try to rip off, you'll just simply flip it over and use either the thicker side or thinner side, depending on which way you want to go. So it should be an even leveling tool. Don't level off real quickly in one shot, because bad for the seller and good for the buyer. In other words, when you just do it in one quick swoop, you're not going to level off properly. There's going to be more product in the measuring cup, and that's good for the buyer. When we say good, we meaning that the buyer in such a circumstance is going to defraud the seller. On the other hand, also don't go off over with the leveling tool real slow, because then that's good for the seller, bad for the buyer. So akulan amar of Yochem and Zakkai. So what are we all learning together, really? We're all learning what not to do, how not to defraud. What are we also really learning? We're also learning how to defraud. Meaning in, right? And so in all these halachas that we're learning together, we're learning what not to do, but at the same time, for the person who's unscrupulous, he hears the Gemara, so he doesn't, you know, he's not taking the Musar, but rather, for him, it's just good information. So, Amar of Yochem and Zakkai, it is the line of the day. Oili im Omer, Oili im lo Omer. So, these halachas, woe to the person who doesn't say them, because you got to teach the halachas. But on the other hand, woe to the person who says them, because you're also teaching the masses how to properly defraud other people. So, So if you say over these halachas, so the people are unscrupulous, so they're going to walk away thinking, okay, good, and now I know what to do to defraud. And if you don't say over these halachas, so the people are going to defraud, so what are they going to say? Talmid Chacham, and they don't know about the business world. They don't know how, you know, how we defraud other people. Like, they don't know what's going on. Okay. And it's just so interesting. And the more basic point, which is, and you got to teach the halachas anyway. But okay. So, Ibailahu Amra lo Amra. So, Rav Yochanan says, basically, damn if you do, and damn if you don't.
But I mean, which both sides are learning, right? The victim also learns how to defend himself.
True. Now, which evil did Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai choose? Where he said the halachas or he didn't say over the halachas? You're probably going to guess correctly. Amra Shmo bar Rav Yitzchak Amra. He said him. He said over these halachas. And the pasuk in Hoshea. We hear this pasuk in Hoshea a number of haftorahs during the year. Ki yisharim darchei Hashem v'tzadikim yachubam uposhim yikashlubam. The pasuk says that darchei Hashem are righteous, and if you're a tzaddik, so you're going to walk in them. And if you're a poshe, and if you're a sinner, so you're going to be kosher. You're going to stumble over them. Meaning, our job is to broadcast the halacha. For the people who want to follow them, good. That's why we broadcast them. For the people who would like to exploit, so they're unfortunately given the opportunity as well.